We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order online. Is there crackling when I talk?
No.
It's just inside. Okay. All right. Nicole, have you started recording? Okay. Will you take roll?
Joella Sporks.
Here.
Claudia Koch.
Here.
Pip Speezy.
And it's Koch.
Koch. Okay, sorry. Robert Mackey. Evelyn Pinsgord. Sarah Batiste. Deb Jepson. Mary Alice Short. Debbie Gonzalez.
Here.
Kayla Hansen. Nicole Klupfer.
Present.
Carolyn Simmons. Debbie Coxon.
Here.
Gary Newman.
Here.
Jennifer Elhard.
Here.
Mary Sue Dates. Ryan Keel.
Here.
Ashley Monroe. Kim Eames. Robin Winant. Jed Lowell. John Clendenin.
Here.
Jennifer Youngberg.
Here.
Walker Wheeler. Brad Crick.
Here.
Kat Williams. Jeanette Altman. Travis Brinzel. Richard Machida.
Here.
Britton Anderson. Is there anyone whose name I did not call?
So do we have a quorum? All right, I've been informed we have a quorum, so we'll get down to today's business. Yeah, but nobody's allowed to leave.
Oh, that's one person.
May I ask who just signed on?
Hey, Joella, this is Pips. I'm sorry I couldn't make it today, but I will join you from my office.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So let's see. We have approval of the agenda. Everyone has the agenda that was distributed out. Any comments, changes?
Second.
All right, we have a motion to approve in a second. Any comments or further discussion? Any opposed then to the agenda? Hearing none, we have an agenda for today's meeting, number 231. The next item is approval of the minutes for meeting number 230.
Were there minutes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Minutes for today's meeting have been distributed.
Okay. Maybe I missed it, but when were they distributed? Not with this agenda. Did they come
like
much sooner? Or?
Yeah, they were requested to be sent out earlier, so they went out.
All right. I was out of town. I probably haven't talked through it yet.
If there is some confusion about the minutes, we can table them to the next meeting for approval.
Move to postpone to the next meeting.
Do we have a second? We have a motion in the room to postpone until the October meeting. All right. Then, it falls for lack of a second. Any changes to the minutes or a motion to approve? We have a motion to approve the minutes. Do we have a second? Any changes, additional discussion? Hearing none, all those opposed to approving the minutes as distributed?
Point of order, you normally call for approve first.
Okay. Gary wants us to change the way that we do business, so we will. All those in favor of approving the minutes as distributed? In the room, I have unanimous. Online?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing none. We have minutes approved for 2:30. No amendments. So the next is item 2, status of pending actions. We have none pending. We will move the officers' comments up next prior to public comment because we're a little early for public comment. My officer's report, mine consists of just a couple of things. Claudia will take the lead on most things, and also we will start. And I apologize to everyone in the room and online. Again, with the heat we have in this room, we have the doors open, so you're going to have some challenges hearing with the coffee machine, et cetera, outside the doors. So in any case, for my report, between the last meeting and this, I've met with President Gamble and with Donald Smith and the Chancellor. The particulars, some of which will come out farther in the agenda, I will say the meeting with President Gamble was very positive. The meeting with Donald Smith was not quite so positive. We may be making there are some remaining issues on the tuition benefit that, as I understand it, will be proposed to the Board of Regents next week in Juneau. So I'm in the process of working on those with Statewide, and we'll take any issues to the Regents next week, any remaining issues. Locally at our campus level, the Women's Center and OMAD issues. Just for an update to let you know what was going on with that. After our last meeting, and May attended, May Marsh, who's the director of diversity and opportunity here on campus, she came and spoke to us briefly about her intended changes to her department, and which included closing OMAD and the Women's Center, turning them into a resource center. There were some, and turning the Women's Center space, what is the Women's Center space, into a resource center. There was some discussion at that time, and then since following that meeting, there were a couple of campus meetings. Quite a ruckus was raised, especially on the part of faculty. As you'll note in the motion later on, item 8D, we have a motion before us, or a resolution before us, taking a position on that whole issue. I will say, as a part of that discussion, there have been some changes. The Women's Center remains intact and will stay intact. Kate Sunwood, the director of the Women's Center, has been returned to her former position and position description. OMAD, the space they had is Anna has moved to the Nordic House and is under a new position description. And as a result of the discussions, there is an advisory council that will be advisory committee that's going to be set up for the Women's Center. And there's a task force that is being set up that will review the mission, what was the mission of OMAD, and review it and make recommendations to expand on it and relaunch that. The Chancellor may well talk to that in his comments. Those of you, if you listen to the convocation, he affirmed his commitment to diversity on the campus and to governance in the convocation. I can add to this when we get to that item 8D. The next, another thing I want to make you aware of, after the last staff council meeting, I attended the Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee meeting to to hear where they stood on the closing of OMAD and the Women's Center. They took no position, didn't even discuss it, had not discussed it. It had the issue and the decisions had not been brought to that committee. I was shocked. At that committee, I realized that staff council has two seats on CDAC, one of which was vacated by Mary Sue last spring. So at that meeting, I informed the chair, the co-chair, one of the co-chairs of CDAC, that to add me to their distribution list as a representative of staff council, it was my intent to come to you today and ask that I be allowed to continue to serve as a representative of staff council on CDAC. However, one of the decisions that the chancellor has made as a part of this task force reviewing the mission of OMAD was to disband CDAC and reinvigorate it with the results of this task force coming out. CDAC has been floundering for a couple of years and was in the process of leading their own reorganization. So I think this is good timing, in my opinion, for the reorganization of CDAC. So I think that the chancellor indicated to us in pre-staff that he was going to thank the members of CDAC for their service, disband it, and have this task force make recommendations as to the new CDAC. Any questions on all that? I know there's a lot of acronyms and circles and twists and turns to that drama. So in any case, for the moment, I'm a representative of council on CDAC. I don't believe that CDAC's going to make it through the end of the month, is what I'm saying. If you prefer to be cautious and someone here wants to volunteer or you want to confirm my appointment to that, I leave that to the group. Any questions or comments? Are you on? Okay.
Maybe. Has there been any information on who might be a part of that task force?
The chancellor is taking nominations. It was my understanding that he was going to contact the leadership of the governance groups requesting nominations from them. But I've heard two different versions of that. So I believe he's going to announce both and then announce that he is seeking nominations and he will select them and select who will chair the task force. Any other questions? Is it the will of the group then that for the moment that CDAC exists, I continue to serve as your representative?
I support that.
Yes. So I'm going to accept those as motions. I have one yes and one and a second yes. Is there any discussion or questions on that? Shall we take a vote then? All those in favor of my continuing to represent staff council on CDAC so long as they exist this fall. In the room we have mostly unanimous. We have unanimous online. Please say yes or
yes.
Yay!
Any opposed online or in the room? All right, seeing none, thank you for the opportunity. And I will keep an eye on that. I have not yet heard from the chancellor requesting nominations. If you are interested in serving on the task force, you can either send me your email of interest or one directly to the chancellor.
Jewel and I had a...
Yeah.
Maybe this doesn't work right now.
They all seem really quiet.
Hello? Oh, okay. Are we going to be able to have an opportunity to see the proposed revisions to the tuition waiver before it's talked about at the Board of Regents meeting?
What I could do is send an attachment. The Staff Alliance, there were very few minor issues remaining. They were, for example, the discussion on whether or not the minimum GPA requirement is attached to the cumulative GPA or to those classes the waiver was used on. That's one remaining issue. The other remaining issue is how, and depending, of course, how that one pans out, is whether or not withdrawals and others affect the GPA. For the moment, the draft does not say what the repercussions of falling below the minimum GPA are. We're asking for a clarification on that because there are no repercussions noted. So that's where we stand.
So then you can send that out prior to the Board of Regents meeting?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
I will do that. I'm in the process of working with Saichi Oba at Statewide to maybe iron those kinks out. So once I think what I'm going to try to do is to get the administration to say this is the version that's going to the Regents, and then I'll send that out to everyone so that there's not some confusion. Because right now there are, I think, three different versions floating around.
Thank you.
Yes. And 3 point for graduate work. Any other questions on my report? And the other, then seeing none, the other thing, Chancellor Rogers is calling in today, so I need to check now. He asked that we be flexible in his placement on the agenda, so I'm going to ask, are you online, Chancellor Rogers? Okay, so we may interrupt. Just in case he calls in. Claudia, I'm going to hold off on your report while I ask, is there anyone here for public comment? Here or online for public comment? Oh, Kate? Kate Sunwood, for those online, Kate Sunwood is in the room for public comment.
Is this on?
Mm-mm.
Excuse me?
Keep talking.
Okay. I'm talking. Okay. This is Kate Sunwood. And I just wanted to say that your resolution that's coming up about diversity and reaffirmation of commitment to shared governance, this is so important. This is such an important time. I hope that you will vote to affirm the commitment to shared governance. It's important. The voices of faculty and staff are what helped to keep from some problematic changes being made. The voices here, the voices of the governance leaders helped this to happen, and we need to get the administration to affirm their commitment to shared governance. Thanks for being here. Keep it going.
Any questions or comments for Kate? Thank you, Kate. Someone just called in? No? All right. We'll move on then to Claudia's test report.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, Staff Alliance met on 11 September. And our survey closed, so we had a little more over 800 responses, 60 from UAF, 20% from UAA, 10% from UAS, and 10% from Statewide. And 9% of these people answered, considered them rural employees. So now we're going to go ahead and group the results in logical categories and roll out the results and our strategy, how to respond to the results over the next couple of weeks on our new Staff Alliance blog. And that blog website can be found on http://uastaffalliance.wordpress.com, and we can send that out. And with that new blog, it's called the Staff Alliance Dispatch, or short ALLIE for Staff Alliance, wants to be able to communicate directly with the constituents in an open dialogue and better communication to matters that affect staff statewide. So then we can align our blog maybe with the blog, the Staff Alliance blog, and we should be in sync on all issues concerning staff statewide.
So as you recall, I think we announced at the last council meeting that Staff Alliance was doing a work-life survey, and we closed that September 7. And the numbers that she referred to are almost the final numbers that we had, approximately 800, a little over 800 respondents. Mary Alice, you had a question? Oh, the UA Staff Alliance
WordPress.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What we decided, Alliance discussed at the retreat and at our last meeting, was kind of separating our, you know, that Staff Alliance needed to have a stronger voice out statewide. And so for statewide issues, issues that affect all UA staff, we would direct people to that uastaffalliance.wordpress.com blog. And we would also use it as a tool to hear back from staff. So that's why we went forward with that. And as a part of the launch, we're going to use the results of the survey to drive people to the blog. Gary?
Would this also be a place where you would be archiving minutes, past minutes, and such like that, since we've lost our support otherwise?
Yeah, well, at this point, I don't have minutes for the retreat or for the September meeting.
I'm thinking the last year and a half that hasn't been missing. So
where would
one find those?
I'm hoping that they downloaded the recordings from encounter.net and that we have those available for when we get support staff. They can go ahead and do our minutes. Yeah, but right now they're just not available. And an update on that, I think Claudia has an update on that.
Yeah. Well, the recruitment is still ongoing, and they just formed a hiring committee, and the job should be posted soon. And they will start with an internal recruitment, and that's for the executive officer right now. They're not even sure if they're going to have a staff person in that position as well. I mean, a support admin person as well. Right now they're looking at the executive officer. Any questions on that? The other thing we talked about last time was that we want to look into the grievance process, and UAS will take the lead on that one. And that will work with Tara Ferguson, who's the director of compensation statewide, and they will bring their suggestions to each MAU, and hopefully we come up with a great review on how to improve the grievance process.
And the other thing I wanted to add to that, Staff Alliance is working directly with the statewide to do that. That's what she was indicating. But my intent is, as the discussions are going on and drafts are, we're seeking comment, my intent is to share it directly with Mary Sue and Staff Affairs to get their feedback so that they can bring it to Staff Council. Just so you're aware, we will use Staff Affairs and Staff Council to get comment on that statewide policy. Uh-huh. Yeah, you bet. Go ahead, Claudia.
Okay. The other thing we talked about was the compensation working group, and Joyla will keep another update later, but it has been established, but we're waiting for the chair to be selected before we announce all the members statewide. That was pretty much from the Staff Alliance meeting. We also had our pre-staff meeting with the chancellor, when was it, last week, and he spoke again of his concern regarding the FY14 budget. He said salary and benefits are our largest piece of the budget, so any compensation increase over the 2% tuition increase could result in staff reduction. He was hesitant to state any hard numbers because he doesn't know yet how the legislator will look at the budget request. But that was one of the statements. The other thing he was saying that the President's Cabinet is on Tuesdays, so we have quite a few meetings on Tuesdays. So he already apologized that he may not be able to attend. He will try to have other Cabinet members attend. If we have it on a Wednesday and he's traveling like today, he will try to call in. And that was pretty much what I had.
Can we get the main speaker in the middle turned up? I mean, I know I'm not sure, but I can still hard to see.
Okay, so online we're still sorting out the speaker system in here. In the open doors, sorry. So any questions on Claudia's report? All right, then we'll move on to, and Chancellor Rogers, have you joined us? Okay, we'll move to the governance reports, and I see that Jennifer Reynolds, President of Faculty Senate, is here. Welcome.
How's that?
Yep.
Now it's on. All right, Faculty Senate met on September 10th, and we have new activity to report. We passed a resolution reaffirming commitment to shared governance, and this is, I have not read yours, but I imagine they're along the same lines. It was prompted by the changes in the Women's Center and the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Diversity, but it was not directed at what changes should or should not be made in those offices. It was directed at the issue of shared governance. And that passed unanimously. Then we have taken up a couple of new topics. Before I say new ones, the last time I talked to you, I told you that we were working on a motion about Complete College America, which is this national program that tries to get students to complete their degrees in a rapid manner, and it prescribes certain changes that universities should make in order to be part of this. It actually, the university is not part of it. The state itself signs up. So the governor asked President Gamble to look at this and come back with a recommendation to him. President Gamble did this over the period of a year with a lot of deliberation. He asked the faculty senates from all three MAUs for input. All three recommended against joining Complete College America. The president then wrote a formal letter to the governor recommending against joining Complete College America. This is not yet finalized because now the governor and the legislature have the opportunity to agree with us or try to sign us up anyway. We hope that that's not going to happen. The recommendation was favorably received in the governor's office. So we think that one may be done. The Faculty Senate picked up a new topic. We're looking at Blackboard and alternatives to Blackboard. Blackboard is not widely used at UAF. The faculty really, many of the faculty do not like it, do not want to use it, look for any way out of using it. This is less true at the other MAUs, but there's also another problem with Blackboard, which is its rising cost. The cost is rising so fast that the UA system, and Carl Kowalski in particular, are concerned that it's unsustainable. So with those two motives, we are looking at whether UA should switch systems, stop using Blackboard and change to one of the other three that are available currently. That discussion has just started at UAF. It will start also at UAA and UAS. Later in the fall, we'll set up a statewide task force on this that is run through Faculty Alliance. And we are working on the general education requirements. As you know, we've spent 2 years so far moving toward a new updated set of requirements that may or may not include core courses or a core curriculum. The Faculty Senate has gotten to the point of having established a set of student learning outcomes. And now the committee is going to look at how to implement those. What kind of curriculum or parts of a curriculum do you set up to make sure that the students get those learning outcomes? So this year is where it becomes very difficult and very interesting, too. By the end of this year, we should have a draft of what the new general education requirements will look like. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. I was curious in what the other three products were instead of Blackboard Learn.
The primary one that has come up is Moodle, which is an open source software. The other two are Canvas, which is brand new, and it's by a company called Instructor. That one apparently has similar costs to Blackboard. I believe that's the one that has similar costs. And it has been adopted by some universities across the country, and OIT is waiting to see what their experience is like. And the last one is called Desire to Learn, and I don't know much about that one yet. So the main alternative at this point seems to be Moodle.
It's kind of interesting. I've done preliminary investigations into Moodle. And the one thing that it didn't seem to support real well, I mean, I realize it's an open source one and it can be customized, but it didn't really have any support infrastructure for batch uploading the courses and students. And that's just with it coming right out of the batch. I mean, so right out of the box, it doesn't mean it can't be customized, but it looked like it wouldn't be as good, but, I mean, you guys will be able to investigate and find those things out. You also said that Blackboard wasn't very well used, but the most recent statistics I saw on it showed between 50 and 60% utilization. So my numbers may be off there, but that was from about a month ago. So that's over half of the either the courses or faculty, but I could send you more information on that or direct you to the person who is giving us ours from OIT.
Yeah, it would be useful to have those numbers and to know exactly what is meant by used. Do you mean that the course has been turned on in Blackboard? So exactly what that
exactly that, and means. That's where that actual piece comes from.
Right.
For their statistics, when they're developed, the only way they can tell if it's used is whether or not it's been activated by the faculty. And since they all start off as turned off, then that's the only thing they can indicate. Someone actually has to go in and turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And that also doesn't include someone who, say, the faculty doesn't use it, but they make their grad students use it to disseminate information or use the gradebook. So, yes, there are various pieces in there that all you can do is a good general description of whether or not it's being used or not. There are also some other strong indicators that you can look at from year to year. For example, the course stacking that occurs within Blackboard, where someone has requested directly that these six sections be turned into one, and those six sections won't necessarily be turned on, but each of those sections would be using it. So there are various factors that would affect those statistics. So,
this is Brian Rogers. I've joined the call.
Thank you for letting us know, Brian. Any other questions for Jennifer?
No. Thank you.
just real quick, can you give me an idea of the scope of the cost that we're talking about? Do you have any idea?
I think the number I remember from Carl Kowalski was 180 going up 5 to 10% per year.
And was there any thought of trying to do something in-house, or is that just...
I think it's rather complex for that.
So.
And considering that there are two open-source options and that other universities are using them, the obvious advantage of that is that we could use modules that they have developed. And a lot of universities use Banner as well. So, you know, it may be that there are resources out there that have been developed for Moodle that aren't in the main package.
Cool. Thanks.
Any other questions, quick questions for Jennifer, Richard?
One real quick question. Was Thrive at all?
Was what?
Another open source course management.
I don't recognize the name. We took the list that Carl gave us, and he didn't mention that one.
Okay. Jennifer, any other comments? All right. Any questions online for Jennifer? All right, hearing none, thank you, Jennifer, very much for being here today. We'll switch then to Chancellor Rogers.
Thank you, Joella, and I'll be fairly brief today. Since most everybody who was interested heard a lot of what I had to say about the year at convocation last week. I appreciate those who filled out the survey. That's useful to us as we think about future convocations. And I really appreciate the quick response on safety-related items. The if you see something, say something. The first call was 3 minutes after convocation, so clearly people were paying attention, and I appreciate that. Gary may have it in his report already, but meeting with Master Planning Committee last week, I talked about trails and pathways and trying to fill in some of the holes in our walking paths around campus, bike paths, et cetera, and to look at where there are improvements needed. They'll be working with North Campus Committee as well and trying to identify what the gaps are and set priorities for those trails and pathways around the campus. Board of Regents meets next week with a committee meeting on Monday and then committee meetings and full board meeting on Thursday and Friday. Quite a list of UAF projects that will be before them and the first view of the president's recommended budget. I received that by email actually after I left Fairbanks, so don't have a printed version, but that information will be posted on the board's website for those who want to see what made it and what didn't. I do remember on the capital side, there's significant funding for deferred maintenance for the heat and power plant design and for the engineering building. Those are the primary items, the completion of engineering, that are on the capital budget. I've asked Juella to identify nominations for members on a permanent committee on the Women's Center and for a task force to look at student programming in the multicultural arena. I hope to make appointments by October 1st, so if there are people who are interested, please let Juella know. And then I mentioned in convocation the second round of Fittest Winner is coming up in early October. It's one of the ways that we can manage at the campus level to help address the healthcare costs and the significant challenges that's creating for the university and more importantly for staff at the university. So would encourage anyone who's interested to join a team, start a team, sign up and participate. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions that members of staff council might have.
Any questions in the room for Chancellor Rogers? Any questions online? All right, then, Chancellor Rogers, we're letting you out the door easy.
Thank you. I've got to jump off for another meeting. I appreciate the council meeting today.
Thank you for joining us. All right, then, the next item on the agenda is Mari, ASUAF President. Mari, have you joined us online? All right, we'll move on to unfinished business. First is item 7A. Walker, you're up.
Okay, so in our most recent EMR meeting, we met and discussed some possible options. They are included in the attachments here. And pretty much we didn't have anything that we felt was the best fit, but we ended up coming up with a third option within the group, which seemed like it may be a little better. It's some of the things that had been discussed in staff council leadership related to a new way of potentially breaking up different units to be, breaking up representation, not necessarily supporting the concept of units throughout the university. And all of those are attached in the report. They're loosely outlined. There's no implementation detail in them at all. And at this point, there's still discussion of ways that we could potentially proceed. Let me go back to my notes. So we've outlined what we believe were the goals that were stated from our former president, and we confirmed them, I believe, with you, Juella, and Claudia, that these were the goals. So we have a couple different options, and we'd love to entertain other potential options that kind of move towards those goals that we're discussing here. So that's about all I have for the update there. Did you have a specific question, Juella?
Well, so if everyone's looking at the attachment 3, where the EMR committee report, he lists option 1, 2, and 3. And you all should have received from Gary his feedback on those options. Are there any other comments or questions about the options EMR is discussing?
I'll jump in there.
Are you talking to me?
are there any comments online regarding options 1, 2, and 3 from EMR? What's that?
No comment here at the moment. Thank you.
Well, at some point we need to either table this or give EMR some additional direction. So I'm open to some discussion, suggestions on either approach. John?
Yeah, actually, I read over Gary's two-page And I think he brings up some valid points, and I really don't see where the option 1, 2, and 3 really do meet the goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I would entertain looking further into something along Gary's line of thinking as far as dropping the numbers rather than trying to remove some of the diversity of campus and trying to, because you could end up with a lot of members in a specific area from campus that nobody knows. And I think Gary brings up some valid points that we should look at.
But you can have the same thing happen with it is now, how it is now. You suffer the same pitfalls. There's the discussion that Gary gave was mostly related to the goals being mutually exclusive and just saying, let's just reduce our numbers as opposed to let's relook at how we're doing things. Most of the arguments that were presented cannot be made until the implementation details are presented. So that's my view of it. And if someone else would propose other options, like I said, we're willing to entertain those. But until someone can step forward and give those options for a reorganization, not a reduction of numbers, that's not the same thing, then where are we going?
I think the point is really is to meet the goals. And
that's right.
Does that meet the goals? Do option 1, 2, and 3 actually define and work towards meeting those goals? And I'm not sure they do.
And without the implementation or the details related to that, you can't measure it. That's my point. You can say, oh, it's not going to meet the goals, but unless you actually look at how it'd be done, and as I said, these aren't fleshed out. These are general ways we could proceed, but not necessarily the full detail. And without that, you can't really make a judgment as to whether they would meet a goal or not. So,
well, I will say... this, and Pips, if you're still online and want to comment, feel free to do so. This kind of grew out of some concern about participation, how our attendance at these meetings, our attendance and participation in committee meetings, the chancellor, and this is something that isn't certainly unique to us. The same issue was coming up with CDAC, with the Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee. There was some frustration in that group as well with participation and, attendance and participation, let's put it that way. It's one thing to show up, and it's another thing to show up and do some work. And I think that this started in a conversation with Pips and I and actually the Chancellor. How can we invigorate staff council? When you look at a survey that was done three or four years ago now, there was questions by staff surveyed about what staff council does and how effective it is and so on. When you look at the numbers from the recent Staff Alliance survey, that question is there again. You know, the statement was staff has input into the planning of the university. And the numbers there did not reflect agreement with that statement. Certainly the statement is broad enough that you can question, does that mean governance isn't doing its job to the administration or to the staff by communicating the activities and their positions on issues? So what the goals here that Walker stated, those were our goals a year ago. In starting this discussion, we felt that, as did the Chancellor in our conversations with him, that we have to do something to pump some fresh blood into staff council. What Walker's saying is we're open to all possibilities, but it's one thing to, and this is something that I run into, it's the old politics thing, don't complain if you don't vote.
This is Jed Lowell online. I have a comment.
Oh, good. Thank you for letting us know you're online.
I thought a creative approach might be to keep your system as it is and allow alternates from any unit to be kind of a pool of alternates. If anyone's going to miss a meeting, whether it be a committee meeting or the general staff council meeting, they could draw from that pool of alternates from any unit, not just their own unit. That might be a way to get some alternates heavily involved.
One of Gary's arguments was the bond or the connection by the representative to their unit. And if you move alternates between units, that, you know, I understand what you're saying.
Well, it's a good idea. Why don't you think about it?
It's certainly a possibility.
I would say it works well for units that are composed of one TKL, where everybody's in the same place. But if you look at units like 7 or 9 or any of them that have 8 to 10 different TKLs in there, not everybody knows each other. So it doesn't work for everyone. So for my unit, yeah, it works great. We have one TKL in there. For OIT, it works great. There's one TKL in there. But as soon as you get a large mixture, especially like the ones that are moving from Unit 9 now to Unit 7, there can be no expectation that you're going to have that same well-interconnected thing. And until you look at those pieces, you can't say that it works better one way or the other. So we're about to have, what, 5 or 6 TKLs that are moving out of 9 into 7 for this and next election. Are those people even going to know that they're transitioning? They've been told that they're going to be reporting to a different vice chancellor, but do they know everyone else in the unit that was there that they're coming into? No. So from my perspective, a lot of the extra things that happen there do not translate back to people being well-connected and being tied directly to a body of people at ad hoc and in a random fashion.
I'll say something to that is that I am from Unit 7, and I do feel it is interesting that we're going to have this new influx of mix. I think everyone in that student services region is a little confused exactly on what's happening. But we do have regular meetings, and granted, they're usually 2 or 3 times a semester, and we actually have one coming up next week where it's an opportunity for the entire division to get to know each other. And so I think at least in that particular unit, because we have a vice chancellor that's interested in the opportunity to get to know one another, I think that will help solve some of those issues. Now, I can't say that that happens in some of the other units, but it does in ours.
I really think we have 2 issues that we're dealing with. One, we have far too many numbers for the people that actually attend. That's one issue. But to meet these goals, the goals that are stated have nothing to do with the numbers. It has to do with effectiveness and value of staff council and governance, period. It has nothing to do with numbers. So if you want to deal with these goals, we have to deal with the effectiveness of staff council, the value of shared governance, the respect from administration and the president. It has nothing to do with the numbers. We're dealing with 2 different issues here. So reducing and splitting up the staff council isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is going to be solved by the values. So yes, I think we need to deal with numbers because we have an issue with numbers. We have 70-some-odd people and only 20 show up on a regular basis. That's a problem. But it's not the bigger problem.
Well, you know, it's all a matter of approach. You know, how do you approach an issue? And we looked at the issue of involvement in staff council, and our approach or our suggestion was, well, let's change its structure. Let's make it an assembly, so to speak, a representative body, and not tie it to units. That would invigorate in our thinking. You know, it would show change, which might. A lot of people say, well, council's doing the same old thing. It's the same people, yada yada. That might catch some people's eye if they see change. The other thinking behind it was, you know, we have some representatives that are elected because 3 people vote for them. So so if we went to at large, would that inspire real elections, real discussions on issues and so on? How would at large membership inspire people interested in wanting to run for council to communicate about it? So the starting point for the discussion came from the goals, and then we just looked at what are ways to generate interest and energy, and this was one of them.
That is one of them, but you also run into another issue of the 80-20 rule, where you get the 20% of the people that step up and say something are making the rules for the 80% that don't. And at least keeping it diversified through campus, you get some sort of cross-departmental involvement.
Then maybe we should look at one vote per TKL. I mean, that would be a way to do it. And then it's fair across the board. You know all of the group that's in there. That's another potential way. But that introduces a whole lot of people into the organization. I'm not saying that's bad. They just have to be able to step up to perform within the organization.
So let's... we have a handful of people participating in the discussion, and so which forces me to ask the question, do you think we need to change?
I'm glad that you mentioned earlier about the question of what does staff council do, because that came up in the survey that we did a couple years ago, but it also comes up on a regular basis. When I was talking to a staff member and mentioned that I was headed to a staff council meeting, she asked, what do we do? And really, I've been on staff council for years with a short break, but I couldn't answer her right away because I can't think of anything that we've made a big difference on. I feel like we've put forth motions and resolutions, but they're not always heard by the administration or acknowledged by the administration. We've put forth ideas, and yeah, we serve on committees, but you know, there's really nothing that stands out as staff council did that for us.
I don't think that's really true, but I think staff council has done a lot with bringing, especially in the last 6 to 9 months, with the surveys and getting the feedback to the president and to Chancellor Rogers on some of these major issues. But it's true, people aren't aware of it, that we really are here to advocate for them. Your average person, I just think, they have so much other things going on, unless they're particularly interested, they don't really pay attention to that.
Well, and I think that it's also a matter of perspective. Hard, tangible things, you know, Staff Appreciation Day is a hard, tangible thing that we've done. Our voice is another issue, and I believe our voice has been heard by the administration. Whether or not they act in alignment with it, depends on the issue and depends on the individual. But in the interest of time, I would like a clarifying vote today for the purposes of EMR's activities. The first vote I would like you all to consider is, we want to change our current organizational structure? And a simple yes or no. A no ends our activities in this area. A yes opens us up for further discussion.
Can I get one clarification?
Certainly.
The option of reducing the number of people per unit, as was suggested, is that considered a major structural change, or would that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because as our current structure stands, the units are defined, and then the number of representatives for that unit are based on the number of members in that unit. So we have, what is it, 1 to every 50? Yes, 1 representative for every 50 members of that unit.
So, Juella, this is Pips. What is your question that we're asked to respond to right now?
I'm asking this body to vote. Yes, we should consider changing our organizational structure, or no, we should not change our organizational structure. Right, exactly. It's just whether or not we go forward with this. Yes. Yeah, there's no sign of organizational structure, what the changes might actually encompass. It's just whether or not we're going to continue down this road, because I do sense some people think we shouldn't make any changes, and there's a vocal subgroup and a quiet larger group.
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction to make sooner rather than later.
Right. So any further discussion on this? I'm requesting that you all take this vote. Any discussion or questions about it?
I guess I'm really confused on how to vote myself. Personally, we can keep it like it is, and I don't know if that's going to change the way how many people show up or get involved, or if we change it, I don't know if that's going to invigorate it. I
think one thing to keep in mind, I mean, coming directly from your comment, is that it doesn't always have to be how things are divided out. It could be who we allow to stay on or who we don't allow to stay on. If several people see that someone is not doing something, it might be that we look at ways to codify the removal of that person. That could be absences from committee meetings. That could be absences from this meeting that are unexcused. So I think those are things to still consider as well, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be under the broader heading of reorganization either.
Right, right. There's any number of possibilities under either choice. That's all open for discussion, but we need to separate some of it.
And I think my opinion right now is that it's, I mean, we ran late today hoping that we even had a quorum, and that's mm-hmm. this is not the first, mm-hmm. second, or last time that's happened. So, yeah, I think we need to reorganize one way or another.
Yeah, I agree with John. I mean, I was one of the people with Joelle and others that put this idea forward, and I'm a strong proponent in doing something. I'm not set on what we initially proposed, but I appreciate having the discussion with everybody. I think you know, one thing that we can incorporate, I think it was Walker who said, you know, talking about what we do in case somebody doesn't show up for four meetings or two meetings or whatever, and that seems to me something, you know, that's part of a bigger picture. That's a Band-Aid on a much larger problem. But I think there's lots of good ideas out there, and maybe we're I am excited about this conversation still. I think the length of time that I've been involved in staff council, which is probably 4 years or something, the status quo is that it's exactly what we're seeing right now, that this hasn't changed, and from what I've heard historically, it's been pretty similar. So in my mind, it's very clear we need to do something different. It seems like maybe we haven't come up with the right thing yet, but I would be more than happy to work on it. I'm sorry that I missed the last meeting. I wasn't able to attend the EMR meeting, but I do appreciate Gary's points, and I like the way Walker laid this out. I think we have a lot of good stuff to work on here, and I don't think what we're doing right now is effective. And I think we have done some really good things in the last 4 years, both tangible and lots of behind-the-scenes work. I mean, you know, just having the opportunity to be on Staff Alliance for a year, the amount of the amount of change that happens behind the scenes is unbelievable, and our voice absolutely gets heard in a very powerful way. So I think we are effective on different levels. I think we could be more effective in some ways, but I feel really good about our body as a whole and the people who participate and all the people who are sitting around the table right now. I just think we should align what we're doing with what's actually happening, and that doesn't seem to be me. It doesn't seem to be happening for me right now.
Thank you, Pips, for the comments. Again, in the interest of time, I'm going to push a vote now on this issue, and then we need to move on to down the agenda, unless, of course, you direct me otherwise. So, what I would like you to do is, all those in favor of pursuing organizational restructuring as an option for change, please say yes.
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 So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the room? Online?
Yes.
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 Yes. 5 online? All right. So and then all those opposed to pursuing organizational restructuring as a, please say no.
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 We have 3 in the room. Anyone online?
No.
4. Anyone else online? All right, then I believe we have a vote of 10-4.
Do you guys not get to vote?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
All right, then we, Walker will begin this discussion anew in his EMR, and I recognize Gary for just one moment. I would encourage you to bring your suggestions to EMR, to submit them, and they may not just be organizational. structure changes, any other changes you see that might have an impact in moving towards the goals stated. Gary's been waiting patiently.
Well, just as a point of clarification, we actually have one tool that EMR was asked to develop and was passed by staff council, I'm guessing 6-7 years ago, relating to attendance. And to my understanding, there's never really been any major follow-through to either on the behalf of officers or certainly that I've seen on EMR toward determining whether people are showing up and that how we address that. So that's one tool that we do have now in addressing the first thing that caught the chancellor's eye, which is the lack of attendance. So we actually do already have that tool.
Well, and that's something that should be reviewed, certainly, because I think they might be a little, I think what Walker was saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, they might be a little lenient. We have a lot of people that call in with an excused absence again and again and again. And so an excused absence is just notifying us in advance. So I think that that's certainly one piece of our bylaws that should be reviewed. Any other comments or questions on item 7A then? All right, hearing none, we'll move to 7B, the healthcare benefit update. We have a draft that is up for discussion this afternoon as what I hope to be the task force's final audio. That draft will be presented to the Joint Healthcare Committee tomorrow morning. There are approximately, I would say 15 items that are suggestions that have come out of the task force. Many of them, if not most of them, are nothing new that haven't been discussed or considered by the Joint Healthcare Committee or the administration before. So my strategy as chair of Staff Alliance will be, as soon as we present this to Joint Healthcare Committee tomorrow morning, I will pass it to the Staff Healthcare Committee and get them working immediately on responses and concerns to these suggestions. We will use the Staff Alliance blog as a centerpiece for getting staff feedback on these suggestions to Joint Healthcare Committee and the administration. I will say that as a voting member of the task force, am I 100% supportive of the suggestions coming out of there? No. And I don't think that our staff will be either. So just to give you a heads up. Any questions on the healthcare benefit update then?
So we haven't seen it,
no.
Essentially.
No one's seen it.
And so our way of getting to look at this will be when it's posted on the blog?
Right. When it's distributed to the Staff Healthcare Committee, I'm assuming then we'll place it on the blog and get feedback. And that should happen tomorrow. It should go up tomorrow because it'll go to Joint Healthcare Committee officially in the morning.
I just want to know how to share it with constituents.
Thank you.
Thank you. The employee tuition benefit update, I indicated where we are with that. We're in the process of discussions on finer points with SAICHI and the administration. Should there be any remaining, I will make every attempt to get it out, the final copy going to the Board of Regents next Thursday. I will make every attempt to get that out to staff. And certainly make our concerns, if there are any remaining, to the Board of Regents in my public testimony on Thursday.
Is there any, right offhand, Joella, do you know what, for an employee, if they sign up for a class as an audit or later withdrawal, is that considered going against?
That's their GPA, that's one of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah. That was one of the caveats concerning a cumulative GPA versus those that a tuition applies to, a waiver applied to. Any other questions? So 7D is the staff resources website update. Mary Sue and Jennifer Elhard, am I correct, Jennifer?
Yes.
Yeah, I have agreed to work on reviewing that website with HR. I had hoped that Brad would be here to confirm the individual that we'll be working with, but you all are welcome to ask him that. This is just an update to let you know that we have two staff representatives working on that, and hopefully we'll have something new or more to report in October.
Yes, this is Jennifer. I'd like everybody to either email Mary Sue or I any initial
views they have of the website so that we can tackle those first, and then maybe we can fine-tune it later. So if you see anything drastic in the beginning, let one of us know.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer, for stepping up on that. Item E, compensation increase update. In the course of my meeting with President Gamble the week before last, we discussed the 3.5% request. He was amenable. However, he did not say that it was necessarily the number. And so when Chancellor Rogers indicated that the Board of Regents agenda and budget requests are online, I almost whipped out my iPad to see what that number is. I will look this afternoon, and I encourage all of you to review the Board of Regents agenda and the budget request. My hope is that the compensation increase is 3.5%, but at this point, I can't tell you. He indicated that there's support from the Regents, but I can't tell you what that number is.
But all of these proposals still need to be approved by the governor?
Well, actually, first they need to be approved by the Board of Regents.
Okay.
So the meeting next week in Juneau with the Regents is their first review of the budget. They vote in, I think it's November 6th, to actually approve the budget request, and then it goes to the governor. So if the number is not 3.5%, we have a month, essentially, to advocate for a higher number before the board officially approves it.
Just real quick, I just looked and I don't see anything other than a special land management meeting.
Oh, they haven't posted
on
it up yet?
Even noted as a meeting.
Okay, so they must have distributed it to cabinet, President's cabinet, but not put it up on the web yet. They were supposed to put it up on the web Monday.
Either that or the fact that there's an extended meeting.
Okay.
All I see is September 24th, land management.
Okay. All right. So as soon as I get the opportunity to check that, I'll inform Council and Alliance what's going on there. 7F, the grievance process review and mediation program. In my meeting with President Gamble, he supported reviewing the grievance process as it stands in Board of Regents policy and regulation. He requested some people be appointed for that. Claudia indicated that the two UA Southeast representatives to Alliance volunteered to do that. So they will work with Tara Ferguson to review the grievance process, and Donald Smith as well. In our pre-staff with Chancellor Rogers, he made us aware that there in our UAF budget request, there was a request for funding for an alternative dispute resolution center within the Department of Communications. I believe it's that department. It made it through the first round, so he, at least at the campus level, Chancellor Rogers sees this ADR center as a possible home for the mediation program on our campus. So if that funding stays in place through the governor and the legislature, that's what we're looking at. I'm thrilled that the chancellor forwarded that as a part of UAF's request. I think it's a great tool and opportunity. Any questions on that?
Just in line with my suggestion for an ombudsman, those might dovetail, potentially.
It's possible, certainly. And that, you know, that's an item, Gary, your ombudsman suggestion that has been discussed both at the campus level and the statewide level, and of course funding is always an issue. But we will put it on our list to bring up to Brian again at the next pre-staff.
I mean, effectively, if it's happening in another manner, and you call it something else, and it does the same thing.
Right.
I mean, then that's fine too.
Right. So that's unfinished business, all of item 7. Any questions on those? So we are past due for our break. Is it the wish and the will of the body that we, in fact, take a 5-minute break and come back to item 8?
Yes.
Yes.
We have a demand in the room. Everyone online will be back in 5 minutes. Thank you. Okay. All right. Everyone in the room, please take your seats. Those online, we are coming back into order. So for those keeping track of the time, it's about 10:05, which is when we had scheduled our guest speakers. So with your permission, I'm going to switch items 8 and 9 and go ahead and start with our guest speakers. Hearing or seeing no opposition, go ahead. Brad Loblin, the interim HR director for UAF, is up first.
Interim is the key word to remember today. Thank you for inviting me. I just kind of wanted to give a couple updates on some positions in my office that have been vacated. We have a recruitment out there right now that closed, and we'll be doing interviews on Friday for an associate director of HR, my previous position. And so after Friday, after the interviews, we'll have more information on who that final candidate is after we complete the process. Also, our payroll manager, Becky Connor, last day was last Friday, and she now works up at statewide HR. And so I have promoted within Sherry Swallow as our new payroll manager, and you'll be seeing an announcement go out soon to the university on that. Sherry's worked in HR for several years as a payroll tech, and this is the right progression for her. So in times of when we have a few positions vacant, we had to make some internal moves. So appreciate that. And the other reason I came here today was to talk a little bit about the new supervisory training program. In 2008, Chancellor Rogers asked me, Arlena Bowden, Joella Sparks, and Jennifer Youngberg to start the supervisory training program, which we did. And it's been going on for about 3 years. We've had pretty successful turnout. Most recently, the Chancellor asked me to revamp it with bringing in some of the formal feedback and informal feedback we received. We want interactive, more interaction with the crowd and more of case studies, hands-on, rather than just a lecture. So we've been working vigorously over the summer to revamp the program, add in those things, but also look at people's time. There's a lot of trainings that go on this campus, and HR is not the only department that trains. And so what I tried to do was take 18 classes that were an hour long and make those all combine into three-hour sessions. We have taken it from 2 hours to 3 hours, giving it an extra hour so we can add in some more stuff, but we've combined like items. What I heard before was that people would go to progressive discipline and 3 weeks later they would go to recruitment and hiring. And so we wanted to take items that were alike and put them all together so people could leave after the 3 hours and have from recruit, hire to onboarding all in one session. And we wanted to focus on strengths and positivity more than just how to terminate somebody and how to discipline somebody, but we wanted to try to turn that around to what are all the things that we can be doing pre-management before we ever get to HR, before we ever get to the paper? What are some of those things that we should be doing? So the new supervisory training is going to roll out next month. I'm frantically working with marketing and communications to get a communication out to the university. There will be more information to come. If you completed the supervisory training program in the past, you'll probably be getting a special email that says you have a certain amount of time to complete the new program. Training is evolving. It always changes on a daily basis based on laws, best practices, or things that are happening in the university. So training is constantly changing, and if we remain stagnant, we're not going to be pushing the organization forward in a good manner. And so the training program is going to roll out next month, and you all have invites to participate. We're trying to make it very easy for people, so every Thursday there will be a supervisory training every week. And there's three modules, and they're 3 hours long. We also need to tap into new supervisors. People are hired at the university as supervisors, and they get thrown into the office with little or no training. And so what we're going to do is, through the new employee orientation process, we're collecting new supervisors, and every first Tuesday of the month, we will be bringing all new supervisors together for a supervisory training on regulations, overview. I can't believe how many people have never seen our org chart for the university, things like that. We need to acclimate new supervisors. Having said that, we also need to take people that have been very stellar workers and have been promoted to supervisors, and we need to make sure we tap into them right away and get them the support and the training they need in order to be successful supervisors. So there's going to be 4 training classes, but if you're not a new supervisor, you don't have to go through the new supervisory training. And we're going to be collecting that data and calling people. It's going to be a more hands-on approach than it was before. We're also going to be sending out to deans, directors, and vice chancellors on a quarterly basis who has completed supervisory training and who hasn't, so that you can then manage your own departments as well. Is there any questions, comments?
I have one. Related to training, are you going to provide any sort of documentation that you can either point new supervisors to right away and say, look, these are the have-to-reads before you get into the first week or through your first week? That may be go review Board of Regents policy, go review, you know, the HR practices here, or any of those other pieces. Do you have a plan for that so that instead of having to wait until, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the line, then they could start and get a jump into it?
Yeah, the new supervisors, what we'll do as soon as we collect that data and we know that they're started, we're going to send them a packet of the training, basically beforehand to say, here's some things that you could do in the interim, but the training is scheduled for this date. So yes, and then and with the supervisory training program, we're also going to provide all the PowerPoints and all of the backup documentation and create folders for people, because before they were having to print their own and do that. So we want to make it more of a program that people can feel invested in and that they can walk away with something to go back and look at.
So will it all be available on the web?
The trainings?
The documentation that you're talking about that you'd put together in this packet.
Yeah, it'll all be available. And the other thing that I'm working on is a training website so that we can put all of our trainings out on one website off the UAF.edu page.
Okay.
And that way people can see, because I'm not the only one that trains, and there's a lot of trainings going on out there, and I think we need to start bringing all that together and put it into one spot so people can go out there and register right from there and whatnot. So it's more easy and the information is going to be readily available this time.
Cool.
Brad, this is Jennifer and Stuart, and I have a question about, do you have a plan to replace Farrah Smith's position?
Yes, I do. And I'm in conversations with the Westridge HR office, and I'm having a few more conversations today and tomorrow before I make that announcement of who that person's going to be.
All right, Richard?
I know this wouldn't be a popular thought, but is there a penalty associated with not attending training?
Well, Chancellor Rogers in the beginning really wanted to have encourage people to attend the training. We haven't really made it absolutely mandatory. I mean, we did, but we didn't hold anybody really accountable for that. And that's because primarily it was new, and we did have a lot of supervisors complete the supervisory training program, so there was a lot of people who did complete it. So we didn't actually hold people completely accountable last time. This time we may. But we really want people just to self-select to go to these trainings as to build their skills. And so there is no, right now, no hammer to come down on people. That's something I'm working on. But if you know me, I look for more of how we can positively get people to do it rather than discipline people for not coming.
It seems to be, you know, the same problem here about, you know, lack of people. The only ones who show up are the ones who want to or who are really interested. Just like they have this mandatory safety training, but there's no penalty for not doing it, so why bother?
Right. And that's a problem for this university, is holding people accountable. And I see it all the time. And so what I want to start out this year is just trying to see how many people self-select and come forward. And then if we have to roll out something to where it's holding people accountable for coming, we will. Because training is important, and you're right, the people who actually need the training are the ones that never come. And that's why we're going to tackle that in a different way and have special invites and also maybe go to the department to do the training for those that don't want to come to the trainings.
Okay. John?
Obviously, my question is going to be, where does supervisor training fit into, or safety training fit into the supervisors this time? Because I'm not familiar with the new program.
Okay. I talked to Frances about that, and I told her that you would be still part of the training program. Because your training is 3 hours long, it's going to be on the supervisory training page, but it's going to be a separate training outside of the supervisory training because it's 3 hours. And you're going to be, we're going to track it, we're going to help you have people register and all that, but it's going to be part of the program, but it, since it's a long training and it's mandatory, we're going to leave it separate.
All right, Gary?
Just two questions. One of the reasons and one of the needs to do supervisory training is so you have effective supervisors. How do you get feedback to find out whether the training worked from the people they supervise?
Well, that comes in many different ways. It comes in me helping people manage their departments, and I find out who needs the training, who hasn't been, and who's gone. The chancellor had asked me if I'd pull together supervisors into some seminars and ask them, the ones that went through the program, what worked, what didn't. And I have talked informally to supervisors about it, and that's what helped me build this new program, is listening to what they wanted, which wasn't a lecture. It was, give me some hands-on experience on how to deal with things.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is from supervisors are supervising employees. So how do you find out if the employees felt like it was working? This is the staff that, you know, generally the ones we represent.
Yeah. I mean, we look at it through a variety of grievances, complaints, also talking to people. I haven't actually sent out a survey yet. I can do that as well to see if the trainings are effective for employees with their supervisors. I mean,
we did a work-life study. Some things may have touched on that, but there's no formal way of dealing with that. And the other question is, congratulations or condolences on your promotion, but what's real high on your list other than what you've mentioned?
For this year we have the West Ridge HR office. So we have campus basically split into two, and research units are using the West Ridge office, and academic lower campus is using UFHR. My goal this year is to get those two offices functioning and consistent with the processes and the practices that we do. Supervisory training is high on my priority list right now. And basically for the next 9 months to a year, I just want to keep things functioning and try to make improvements where I can and try to get employee engagement. And that's going to be a big, huge push this year with the supervisory training program, is get people engaged and talking and more collaborative work between departments. And also I have a good track record with working with administrative departments and academic departments, so I'm going to continue to do that in the interim.
All right, Walker?
I have kind of a very small one that may also be a suggestion as well. What are you guys using to track the trainings, and are you using or aware of the Intellect system? And that's something that interests me, because I found it very useful that someone's already tracking, for example, all the required safety trainings, and they can send me a document, or I could log into the system and see that the people in my area have or don't have something that we want them to have, as well as like repetition or when it happened. So anyway.
And right now we're using FileMaker Pro. We've created databases for certain things that we're tracking. So we're using that because we can export, do reports for people and things like that. We were using Banner in the past, which wasn't very helpful. We have been in conversations, the prior director, with risk management about Intellects, and it didn't seem to fit our needs. Also, I'm very fearful of having another program people have to log into, because we have another program coming from statewide called Aleutian. It's a performance management module, and people have to log in. And what I'm hearing is people don't want another system to log into. They really want to know, what are the tools I'm supposed to do to get this done? UAK Jobs has overtaken people here at the university, and it's a very complex and not user-friendly system, and I'm just not ready to roll out anything that where people have to log in and do it.
I think the more appropriate question is, do they not want another system to log into, or do they not want another username and password, which tends to be the problem, that they're completely separated like they are on UAK Jobs. So that's another point to consider for you, is whether or not it's really that they don't want another system, or that they don't actually want to have to track another piece of information like username and password.
And a good example is web time entry. The timesheets, we had over 200 supervisors and employees not submit their timesheets at all because they're not in front of them. Mm-hmm. They have to log in now and remember, and we're not all waiting to approve timesheets. I am. I love it. That's part of the problem, is we have these systems and they're all over the place, and if you don't use them every day, you don't really know what to do once you get logged in. And so I really want to invest over the next year in somebody in the office to help track and do onboarding, and we need a face behind some of this stuff rather than another automated system.
Okay, unless there's something online, I'm going to close the discussion. We're running over time.
Sorry.
No worries. Is there... questions online? All right.
I had just one quick question. Is the supervisory training required for faculty members who are supervisors or just staff?
That's good. That's a great question, and it's not going to be required for faculty. What I'm going to be doing over the next year is meeting with department chairs and faculty members and asking them what they struggle with in supervising and build the program around what they need so that I can get buy-in as well from them.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brad, very much. So our next guest, Mae Marsh, is the Director of Diversity and Equal Opportunity.
I'm here today. I want to talk about the two groups that the Chancellor has announced that we're going to create. We're creating a task force, and we're also creating a Women's Advisory Committee. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is that the actions that we're taking is to promote diversity and to promote inclusion here at the university. And as you are making your recommendations, I want to ask you to do that in a very mindful way. What I'm hearing is that this is a hard system to navigate, and that it is even harder for people that believe they have somehow or another been disadvantaged, whether that comes from being a person of color, comes from being a person with a disability, comes from being a woman, comes from being a veteran, but that they are like the canary in the coal mine. You know the old story of the coal miners in West Virginia. When they went down into the coal mine, they would take a canary with them because the canary was very sensitive. And if the canary died, then they knew that they had to get out because there were dangerous gases. And I see that a lot of times what I'm hearing is that maybe even at meetings like this, there's that population of people that feel like they cannot come forth and offer their opinion. So as you're making your selections, I want you to be mindful to make sure that we are including maybe those voices that have not yet been heard.
Any questions for Mae? Online? All right. Hearing none. Thank you. Brad, actually, you got off a little easy here. We have a couple of questions. Who is working with Staff Appreciation Day?
This guy named Brad. actually, Floor Banks is going to be, we just met about this yesterday.
Okay.
And so we have Floor Banks and Barbara and a consultant who will help.
Okay.
So
okay.
Who do I need to get in contact with?
Ashley,
okay, I will do that.
Okay. Then the other question is regarding the Work-Life Balance Committee. Did you follow up on that from our discussion?
Work-Life Balance.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Are you balancing yet?
Actually, I'm not on that committee.
Right, but it was your former...
Yes, it was my former supervisor who is still on the committee, and I got a phone call yesterday that says I need to get on that committee. So I don't have any updates for you today or any information.
Not just on the committee, but the chair of the committee was your former supervisor.
Yes, I know. So. I've been fully made aware of what I have on my plate. So
he's going to run out of here screaming right now. All right, thank you both for joining us. So just for your awareness, we are running a little bit behind, and we have a couple of big topics before us still. So our next item is 8A, elections, and I'll leave that to Walker.
So let me pop over. So we were able to come up with an election timeline. We had proposed two and discussed them during our EMR meeting. One of them would have required a change to the bylaws, and we opted in EMR not to pursue that one. So as part of the EMR committee report, you'll see not just the in the report itself, the actual timeline, which nominations are going to open October 1st. So, you know, within 2 weeks here, it'll be for odd elections that our odd unit elections will be coming through. So nominations start on that Monday, October 1st, and will close about 2 weeks later on October 19th. Then we'll go on to the following week and open the actual elections.
So if you're in an odd unit, please go out and request that people start either self-nominating or nominating someone that they think would be appropriate for the role of staff counsel. And that's about all I have to say. The schedule is attached. I'll take comments now or afterwards.
All right, Brad.
So Walker.
Yes, sir.
With the second proposed timeline, it seemed to me would be better for the calendar. What would it take then, say, next year to, would it be possible then the following year to, you know, have something closer to that second proposed timeline?
I think it would have been possible this year, too, if we had a change in the bylaws that didn't state that we would ratify elections in the December time frame. We close elections and we'll have a fairly good idea on November 26th who was successfully elected and who wasn't. So in thinking in consideration with the calendar, that's why I looked at the other possible timeline. But we'd have to modify the bylaws is what that comes down to.
Right. And we can, last year we had to sort of make our best guess on a few people, and I think there's at least one or two people who are on the 2012 calendar who aren't actually on staff council, but
sure.
So that does happen.
And the other piece to consider is last year we got a late start.
Yeah.
So this year it'll be much earlier, so we'll be able to coordinate that better.
So we could put it on the to consider list once EMR survived elections, to looking at whether or not we want to modify the bylaws then.
Yeah, just a quick question, because we've already got a kind of a process for making this happen. A weekend turnaround to open elections is enough?
Absolutely. So when they close, the only thing that has to occur is taking all the people who have successfully been nominated and putting them into the same database that houses the actual election portion. So it's a fairly simple process for doing that. And it may be that during the business day it occurs. So it may not open at 8 a.m. that day, but it will open that day with the notification that would go out.
The part of the challenge there is the supervisor approval as well. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's always seems like the missing piece for a few people all the time.
The more important piece, I think, in many cases is going and saying, yes, I would be willing to, as opposed to the approval. So.
Any other questions for Walker on the 2012 fall odd unit elections? All right, then we'll move on to 8B, the RISE Board. If you might recall, there was some confusion about staff council's representative for that board. I have attempted to contact Michelle Hebert, and not she's not responded, so I will continue on that. This is just an update.
I did actually attend their meeting for another reason and mentioned that we had voted to not require a staff council rep and just be a staff rep, that they were free to do that. So maybe that loop is closed. I don't know.
I'm not sure that. Well, thank you for that. I'll talk to Michelle because according to their bylaws, it's supposed to be a staff council seat. And they were running our submission through the same process as the other board representatives. So I need some clarification on that.
That would be good to have.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, though, for letting me know. 8C, the UAF strategic plan, that is attached. What I'm thinking that we should do is use Mary Sue's blog as a point for collecting feedback on this. It is still a draft strategic plan. And if you've read it, if you've noticed that the word staff doesn't appear in it in any place, I would encourage you as council representatives to review the strategic plan and make suggestions on how our administration might incorporate the role of staff in the strategic plan. So what I think that we should do, and I'm certainly welcome or open to other suggestions, but we could announce that we're taking input on the strategic plan through the blog, the UAF Staff Council / Unit 7 blog, and take input from there, then pull it together and summarize it and forward it to the Chancellor, unless someone else has another option they'd like to suggest. Yes, sir.
I don't have another suggestion, and I'll probably bring it up at a future time. I do have a question about using Blogspot or WordPress as official UA blogs, and wonder if there's not a better solution in having, you know, a WordPress blog hosted, you know, with the university, or you know, something similar, rather than have an external blog site. But that might not really be directly related to this conversation.
That's certainly a discussion that we could have with OIT and related to communications.
Or and if you know, Mary Sue even would want to do it that way. May want to keep it separate.
Okay. Any other questions then on item C, the strategic plan? I encourage you to review it and give feedback. This is an opportunity to have input on the Chancellor's guiding tool. All right, then we're on to item D, the Women's Center and Office of Multicultural Affairs and Diversity resolution. You have an attachment 231-5 is a resolution drafted out of the Staff Affairs Committee. I'll give you a minute all to find it. So hopefully you all have it before you. I would like to bring up at this point, between the time that this was passed out of Staff Affairs Committee and it's coming before you now, there have been some significant changes or developments. One, of course, is Chancellor Rogers' convocation, at which he mentioned, you know, his commitment to shared governance and diversity on this campus. So there are two issues. You're looking at this resolution, the draft before you. There are two issues, the issue of shared governance, and by that I mean when the decision was made to close the Women's Center and the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Diversity space in Eielson, governance was not contacted. Governance was not given the opportunity to provide input on that decision. So thus the language in here reminding the university administration that by Board of Regents policy there to allow governance and provide input from governance. So then of course the other issue is the closing of the two offices, or the decision to close the two offices, and the direction of the Office of Diversity and Equal Employment. After our conversation in pre-staff with the Chancellor, when he indicated, of course, that, and you heard him mention it this morning, that we would have, he's accepting nominations from this group for the I'm not sure the task force has an actual name, but the intent, as I told you earlier, is the task force is to review and make recommendations on what was the mission of OMAD. And then the Women's Center Advisory Group. So looking at this draft, because of his statements at convocation, because of his actions in implementing those two advisory groups, and his conversation with us at pre-staff, I would encourage you all to review this resolution and consider changes to this resolution. We, the original draft had strong language in it, and I support some of that strong language. I have concerns about others of it. I think it's important to document mistakes so that we can learn from them, and you can keep an eye on a track record. So I believe you should go forward with the resolution, but I would encourage you to consider changing the language of this resolution. I have some specific suggestions if you wish, or if you wanted to send it back to Staff Affairs for changes, however, of course, you wish to proceed. As you heard, and I'll remind you, Faculty Senate President Jennifer Reynolds pointed out that Faculty Senate last week passed a resolution just reaffirming its support for shared governance, that they didn't take a position on OMAD and the Women's Center. So at some point, I need you all to tell me what you want to do. You have a resolution before you from the Staff Affairs. Do you pass as is? Do you wish to modify or return it to committee?
I would recommend sending it back to committee for overview for a second time, taking into consideration the changes that have taken place over the last few weeks.
I second.
Gary had a comment.
Well, just if we're gonna refer to committee, do we want to take it, have a motion to pass it, and then we can refer it to committee so that it comes back on the agenda? Just a parliamentary question.
Okay. Any other comments?
In regards to that, if it goes back to the committee, does that mean it comes back to us in October to pass? Because that seems like a long timeline for me.
Well, it's true. That is a delay of a month. So we have, I believe we have a motion and a second to refer it back to committee. I have some suggestions I could make. However, they would be on the spot, short notice. Any further?
I'd like to hear what you have to say, Juella.
All right. As a part of this continued discussion, then, on if you have attachment 231.5 with you, I would recommend maintaining the first four paragraphs.
Four.
Those are background paragraphs establishing the purview of Board of Regents policy and stating the fact and how the administration dealt in their decision making and so on. So I would recommend keeping the first four paragraphs. And then I would remove, therefore be it resolved, that the staff council urges the university administration to recognize staff council I believe that Chancellor Rogers did this at convocation. So I would recommend removing that, therefore. I have also removed the last, be it therefore resolved, that the staff council recognizes its role in shared governance and wants to be a partner in future reorganizations. This was discussed in a face-to-face with Chancellor Rogers with governance leadership, that he will not involve governance in every decision about reorganizing departments and so on, that it's not efficient or necessary. I added some language that clarifies that. Seek input from governance in advance of decisions to close or reorganize offices or departments that significantly impact staff or that negatively impact advancing the mission of the university. So where the draft before you is a little broad, I clarified it. I also made one other change. Let me see here. Right. I also removed, be it therefore resolved that the staff council recognizes the opportunity and need for efficiencies within the organizational structure, but disapproves of the methods and lack of input prior. I think that that's, we've stated that above, and this language is too strong. So I recommended removing that one. So I added a whereas the Chancellor stated his recognition of and commitment to governance during his convocation, and I added, therefore be it resolved that the Staff Council urges the University Administration to reaffirm its commitment to the principle of shared governance by communicating to the UAF community the successful installment of the above-referenced advisory group and task force. So essentially, I can read my entire group of changes if you like, or we can go back to committee.
Just a quick question. At this point, basically, we have kind of sort of already set our direction for the thing that was the impetus for this.
Mm-hmm.
So anything we do here really isn't going to make any change other than stating our voice
yes.
for the future.
Yes, exactly.
And so the timeliness of this is no longer truly an issue other than to give it by example of what did happen and what we had to go through.
And that's a valid point. I think it's critical that we document our concerns and the actions of the administration and our response. And you're right. I have met with all the faculty involved. I've met with Mae Marsh in the community and individually, and I've met with the chancellor with the other faculty leaders. He knows our position, and he has publicly committed to the conditions that we discussed. So, yes, your point is correct that really at this point we're documenting our position. So maybe the timeliness isn't a factor.
Yeah. So I guess I would feel comfortable. I think I would support going back to committee to try to reframe the tone of it towards saying we had a problem, we're trying to resolve it, we'd like to avoid it in the future. And here's how we can be a partner in this.
Okay.
I mean, more or less.
All right. So any more discussion? We have a motion to send this back to committee. Any other discussion?
I think before we send it back to committee and possibly taking another month on this issue for something that's not very timely anymore and it's already kind of been resolved, it was heard around campus that no one liked this change and it was brought back to where it was supposed to be. I think, Joella, I would like to hear your proposed resolution as it reads now, and possibly we can send that forward. Or maybe, honestly, with Faculty Senate also sending forth a resolution just recently, is there a need for us to send a resolution too?
I think that there is.
Okay.
Because we've heard about staff not having input. And taking action on issues, and I think it's best for us to take a stand.
And as you rewrote your version, did you also see Faculty Senate's version?
Yeah.
So I think because you've already written something, it's here. I think we should hear it as opposed to going back to staff affairs and waiting another month on this issue.
Is there any concern with that? I'll go ahead and read it then. Diversity and Reaffirmation of Commitment to Shared Governance is the title. Whereas Regents Policy requires the university to provide an effective opportunity for university faculty, staff, and students to play a meaningful role in the matters affecting their welfare through participation in shared governance. And whereas the university administration has recently demonstrated a lack of commitment to the principle of shared governance through its decision to close the Office of Multicultural Affairs and Diversity and the UAF Women's Center without including governance organizations in the decision-making process. And whereas the university administration has since rescinded its decision to close the Women's Center and agreed to appoint an advisory group to include governance for the center. And whereas the university administration has agreed to appoint a task force to include governance to review and update the mission of OMAD in its support for students. And whereas the Chancellor stated his recognition of and commitment to governance during his convocation, now therefore be it resolved that the Staff Council urges the University Administration to reaffirm its commitment to the principle of shared governance by communicating to the UAF community the successful installment of the above-referenced advisory group and task force. And be it further resolved that the Staff Council urges the University Administration to seek input from governance in advance of decisions to close or reorganize offices or departments that significantly impact staff or that negatively impact advancing the mission of the university. There you have it.
Just one comment on the very last phrase there, which negatively impact the mission of the university. I don't think that they're ever going to admit that they're actually doing something that's going to be negatively impact.
I think they might think about it, though, and say, will they admit it to us? No. But will they think about the perception?
I mean, it's not in their best interest. They're charged with running the university, being a positive thing. To me, that's kind of, I don't see the point in that little phrase being there. Otherwise,
okay.
I have a problem.
Okay. Any other comments?
The only other thing I might add to that, right before the word convocation, maybe put fall 2012 convocation or
okay.
September 2012, just so we know which convocation the chancellor was referring to.
Any other comments? So we have then before you a resolution with amendments. Gary brought up.
Sorry. There were just a couple of little quickies where you said the university administration. You might clarify the UAF administration.
In the last, be it
well,
there.
I mean, there was some other wherever
all
wherever it is. Just to be clear.
All right. And Gary, is it also your suggestion that we remove or that negatively impact advancing the mission of the university?
Yeah.
All right. Given the changes, any other comments? Online? All right, then, is there a motion to accept this resolution?
I'm sorry, we have another motion that's been seconded that we have to decide on at this point in time.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going brain dead.
Okay.
We have a motion on the floor to send this resolution back to committee, which has been seconded. We have had discussion. Shall we vote? All right, then, all those in favor of sending the resolution drafted by staff affairs back to committee, please vote yes.
The one we have right here, correct?
No, the original.
Okay, the original, that's what I meant.
Yes. Our original motion, all those for sending it back to staff affairs. In the room, we have two voting yes online. Can you say that you're actually online?
Present.
Okay. All right. We have a connection then.
I'm online too.
All right. So then all those opposed to sending the original resolution back to committee, please raise 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those.
I'm sorry. Can you clarify what this vote is?
This we are voting on the original resolution in the attachments.
As amended?
No. The original resolution.
Whether it's being sent back to committee or not.
Okay, I thought we just did that, but never mind.
No.
Okay.
So all those opposed to sending the original resolution back to committee, please vote no. 1, 2, 3. Okay, online?
No.
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 All right, so we've satisfied that motion. We're not sending the original back to committee. Do we have another motion?
I move to put forth the resolution with the discussed changes.
Second.
We have an issue here for the moment. We need to identify the individuals online to confirm that we continue to have a quorum.
This is Jennifer Elhard.
Debbie Gonzalez.
Brian Keel.
Jed Lowell.
Just the people online, because this is Kayla Hansen.
All right. Is that all you need? All right, we're good. I apologize for that, the challenges of an online meeting. So we have a motion before then to adopt the resolution presented by myself with the amendments suggested. And the original motion, and did we have a second?
Mm-hmm, second.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on the resolution that I read or changes? All right, then, all those in favor of passing the resolution that I read on the floor, please say aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand. All right. All those online?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All those opposed to the resolution as modified and read on the floor? One in the room online?
No.
All right. All right. Then any abstentions for clarification?
Aye.
All right. That's what we needed to hear. Then we have a resolution we've passed as modified and read on the floor on this issue. Thank you, everyone, for your consideration and action. Okay. We are down to committee reports. Item 10, then, first is staff affairs. And Mary Sue has submitted meeting notes and is not present today. Any questions for anyone that was present or concerns about the attachments? All right, then I'll move on to Brad with Rural Affairs.
Rural Affairs met earlier this month, and we discussed just real briefly some things we wanted to keep our eyes on this year, including, again, geographic differentials and other issues of compensation and costs, especially relating to our rural campuses and employees. Robert pointed out that the Chukchi campus has lost half of its staff, three of five of which have gone to the state. We'll probably talk about that more in our next meeting, about whether or not they're hiring those or rehiring and other questions related. We also discussed, just on the list of things to keep an eye on, you know, food prices, gas prices, healthcare. So all things we're sort of thinking about, you know, looking for stories, looking for information, how that impacts, again, our rural campuses and employees. And then I will not be the Rural Affairs Chair after December of this year. So I am actively seeking a new chair starting next year. Or a co-chair starting through the end of this semester. If anyone's interested, that would be fine too. And that's all I have for Rural Affairs. We'll be meeting sometime in October. It might be the first week. It might be the second. I'm not sure yet.
Any questions for Brad? All right. Walker with EMR.
My reports are attached.
All right. Any questions or comments for Walker? All right, then, item D is the Advocacy Committee. Debbie?
Nothing more, sorry.
Any questions based on the attachment? All right, then we'll move on to item 11, which is External Statewide Committees, Staff Alliance's Staff Healthcare Committee. Notes are attached. For the record, I believe it is Carolyn is retiring, correct, October 1? And and is it Deb Gonzalez? Has Deb moved up as the alt? From the alt to the...
For which? I'm sorry.
For the Staff Healthcare Committee, or was that Mary Sue that moved up, Debbie?
I don't know. I thought it was... I don't know who moved up. I wasn't aware anybody moved up.
I think it was Mary Sue, but I will find out.
I hope so. Sorry.
All right. So what's happened is Carolyn Simmons has stepped down from Staff Healthcare Committee, and I believe that one of our two alts, Mary Sue or Deb Gonzalez, has moved up into that position, and which means we will have an alternate position open for the Staff Healthcare Committee. If someone has an interest in serving, please let me know. I will tell you, Staff Healthcare Committee meets next week, and they will be discussing, of course, the Healthcare Task Force suggestions.
Do you know what day?
I'd look at my calendar. I thought it was...
Tuesday. Okay. Of course, there's a financial managers meeting that day, too, darn it. Same time.
So what is the date, Deb?
The 25th.
25th? Okay.
At 9 to 10:30.
Okay.
And then there's also the financial managers meeting at 9, which I probably should go to, but I don't know what I'll do.
Okay. Thanks, Debbie. The next group is the Staff Alliance's Compensation Committee. As Claudia pointed out, we have our committee, but we're in the process of determining a chair, and so we didn't want to announce that committee until we had a chair in place. Any comments or questions then on item 12, external committee reports? Gary, I understand, has a big one. We can start with Gary.
Well, just real quickly, they were fairly comprehensive notes because they were also for the committee themselves. And the chancellor mentioned the trails plan that he'd like us to start doing, and they were trying to establish a kind of an ad hoc task force to start on that. And if there's anyone that's interested, they can contact me or the chair in serving on that task force.
Okay. Will you send me an explanation of that committee?
It pretty much as it was stated here, there's not much more
Okay. Other
than basically it's kind of like a focus subcommittee to work on developing UAF trails plan as the chancellor described.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Parking advisory is not met. I'm going to go down the list very quickly. If you have a question, please bring it up at that point. CDAC, item C, the Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee. I am listed there, and previously you agreed to my continuing to be involved as for the rest of their short life. They did meet, and Ross provided a report. Planning and budget has not met. The Chancellor's Advisory Committee for Naming of Campus Facilities, Debbie's supplied a report. Any questions on that? The Accreditation Steering Committee has not met. Meritorious Service Awards Committee, Claudia provided a report. Walker, TAB,
We haven't met, but we've been doing some changes that the TAB board requested on the website. So hopefully it'll simplify it for not only the TAB board, but all the people involved in the process.
Okay. Okay, and you all heard the status of the Work-Life Balance Committee from Brad. Intercollegiate Athletic Council has not met, and the People's Endowment has not met. Ad hoc committees, John, has not met. Calendar Committee, Brad, has not met?
Nope, but I am joined by Sarah Batiste and Mary Sue Dates on the committee.
Okay.
If there's someone else who'd like to join, we had sort of four people with Gary as a sort of Gary Newman as a flying member. So if you're interested, let me know. And we should be meeting before our next staff council meeting. So we'll have an actual report then.
All right, thank you. So the next item is a roundtable discussion. That is when we turn off the recording, and you all are encouraged to speak freely about issues and concerns you have, internal or external, to staff council. Are we good?